Welcome to today's topic, maximizing help desk client satisfaction and user experience. Let's begin by talking about just some important client service topics. You know, we talk about this area, everyone just generally knows what it is, but let's get some definitions and some concepts out of the way up front. To begin, well, client service, what's a client? Well, the way I like to describe a client is we tend to think of them as, you know, the customers of the organization, whatever that is. I want you to really widen your thinking on that particular topic. You know, your client is whoever uses the output of your personal work and your department's work. As some internal examples of this, there we go. I don't know why my keyboard isn't working. There we go. Is if you're working in data communications, the data center managers, and quite frankly, everybody else are in fact your clients. If you're working on the budgeting system, you know, from an AppDev, application development perspective, is that your internal clients are certainly the budgeting department, but also everyone else who is all of the cost center managers around the company. Next is if you work in cybersecurity or the CISO or working within that team, then certainly the CIO, senior leadership, the system administrators, software developers, and really anyone else who's touching the technology in any way. I would even say it would be the total user base because they have to worry about phishing and other things along that line. If you're a project manager, then it's not only the people, your stakeholders during the duration of the project, but it's also within when you roll out that project to all, is that them, because they'll ultimately be using, well, the output of your project's work. And lastly here, if you're working in production operations, the software developers, the application people, et cetera. So I've used obviously a lot of IT internal examples here, but you know, if you're supporting the human resources systems, then everyone in human resources is your client. So just don't look at it as those outside the organization. You know, for most people in IT, actually, their client is either inside IT, or as we'll be speaking about really for the majority of today's webinar, they are in the organization, they are outside of IT, but in the organization overall. Now, in some ways, the help desk people and service desk people, what they are, they're the rock stars, really, of IT. The reason is because they literally are the face, the voice, the ears, and the eyes of IT. Oh, excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. Sorry about that. I'm assuming you would rather me do that off camera. But anyway, is that the reason that help desk is the face and the voice of IT to the organization is most of the user base. You know, we deal with senior business people, you know, some others, but generally speaking, the only access or the connection to IT that most people have from a personal perspective is through help desk related activities. So as a result, that's who they see. They see your help desk people, you know, both from in speaking with them and them solving problems, et cetera. So for their perspective is their reality. And if the only people in IT they ever see is the help desk people, I mean, they know that lots of other people are there without question. But if that's all they see, that's their reality of what IT is. So as a result of it, your help and service desk professionals, they need to certainly be highly trained in the technical topics. If I talk to a really, really incredibly you know, smart, articulate person at help desk, but they can't solve my problem, all that they've really done is waste my time. So therefore, you know, no rocket science to say they really need to be technically trained and technically proficient. But they also have to have strong interpersonal communications. For those of you who've worked in the help desk or in other IT senior management positions, you've probably occasionally, just because, you know, I'll just say occasionally, is that you'll get a help desk person that doesn't get along well with one of the people they're supporting, says something maybe they should have said. And what that does is that totally destroys not only that interaction, but it hurts the feelings of that person toward their overall thought of IT. But help desk is also the ears and eyes of IT. The reason being is where are people calling with problems? They're calling to for their job. Their job, the help desk people's job, is to receive, understand, and correct issues that the user base has. But those issues could also be, gee, you rolled out this new piece of software. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do on this slide. This screen. What do we do? So as a result of that, the information that help desk people get, both anecdotally, just by saying, hey, it seems I'm getting a lot of questions on the new rollout of this application. Or, gee, it seems that every 5 minutes people are calling about a password reset on this particular application. Is they should take this information and then feed it back to the appropriate groups internally, application development groups, operations groups. If maybe they're saying, gee, I'm working, but my internet keeps cutting out. Maybe that goes to the communication team. But because help desk sees all this stuff, because they're the ones people call to complain to, is in fact they by providing that information back through internally. Not only can it greatly enhance the service and really tell these groups behind the scenes, what to prioritize, but it also reduces the number of calls that come into the help desk because those problems are fixed. But now let's talk about those individual interactions. They're what I like to call moments of truth. Moments of truth are interaction between a customer and a company, or in our case, between help desk and a business user. That provides the opportunity for that user to perform to form or change their opinion of IT. Is that if they've never talked to the help desk before, and help desk, they call up on the line, someone's down there quickly, they're very articulate, they're good to work with, they solve the problem quickly, they're of great help, they provide a little extra knowledge and they leave, then it's wow, those folks are pretty good. However, if it's the opposite, they may not be thinking the same. The reason is, and everything we've talked about to date, is because of the one IT concept. What this is your business partners outside of IT view IT as a single entity. Therefore, a result, an action of one person affects the group of all. So let's say, for example, that you use Verizon as your cell phone provider. You call up Verizon, and the person you speak to is very helpful. They're courteous, they're professional, they have the information you need. They solve your problem in 2 or 3 minutes, so they're efficient and effective. You get off the phone, you go, wow, those Verizon folks are pretty good. That one person in your mind represented the, I don't know, million people or whatever it is that works for Verizon. The same concept is through. Is true for IT because most people in the company don't know the difference between, oh, this one's an app dev, this one's a data comm, this one's here, this one's there. Just sort of like IT is IT. Now, one concept, it's actually been around, and I would even say it's a trend that has been around for a while, but is continuing to increase and continuing to build momentum. And what that is, it's the idea of concierge client service, which actually is also called white glove client service. And what it is it's really providing, high quality specialized service to clients when and where and how they would like to receive it. Now, quite frankly, anyone who's here that's in the help desk is sort of laughing and say, oh, we've always done this for the C-suite. Of course you have. We all have. Why? Because they're our bosses or our bosses' peers in one way or another. So as a result of that, is now, we know how to do it, but the question is, can we do it for everyone effectively in IT? Because let's look at those places where we have concierge help. Hotels, they actually have something called a concierge desk. You go there and you say, hey, I want to book a restaurant. I need this, I need that. They're there to help. In IT, it would be they call up and say, oh, I need new software. I need a password reset. I need they're to help. They now have doctors. Actually, that what they'll do is general practitioners who you'll pay, I don't know, 2 grand, 5 grand, 10 grand or more to them, and that they're there, but that doctor then becomes your advocate. So that anytime you have a question, you need an x-ray, what do they say? It hurt, doctor, it hurts when I go like that. They'll come back to you and say, don't go like that. Sorry, that's an old, I think it's a Henny Youngman joke. But anyway, is that they sort of navigate behind the scenes. The sort of the medical complex for you. Companies like Nordstrom's have shopping services. Let's say I bought this shirt in blue, and then I also bought it in red and say, Don, I wish they had one in green. Then I may get a call 2 weeks later from my shopping, personal buyer, which by the way, I don't have. I just want to get that on the record right now. I'm more of a Marshall's TJX kind of guy. But anyway, is that would call me up and say, hey, Eric, you know that shirt that you really liked and it didn't have it in green? It just came in your size. Can I drop it in the mail to you? Hey, that would be great. Thank you. Or just lifestyle coaches. This has existed in different ways. So now I'm going to ask you, is it the only store? What was the only store that used to have a greeter when you walked into it? And it's not a high price store. Anybody who's thinking Walmart? You're correct. Other stores have done that also, because when you go into a Walmart, wasn't it nice to have someone in front say, "Where are you, what are you looking for? Can I help you?" Oh yes, I'm looking to buy shirts. Oh yeah, we'll want to go is just go down the center aisle, count down three aisles, and you'll see men's over on there on the left. Thank you. Isn't that nice? Much so much nicer than walking into a store and you're wondering if anyone works there other than the cashier. That is actually their attempt to provide this type of service. And so think of it as what things can you do to truly give your help desk and service desk people this type of feeling by the people who are calling in for their assistance. Now, let's just define what client service is. It's treating internal departments and individuals as if they were external paid customers. I mean, let's face it, everybody knows the external customer, depending what you're in retail, it's customers, you're in consulting, they're clients, you're working in a municipality, they're citizens, you're working in a credit union, they're members, whatever you call them. Now, this one is the when I'm saying, like paying customers, the people outside the organization. This is something that we all know we should do, right? Someone is a client, they call up, they go, oh, I'm sorry, well, I can't help you with that, but let me get to you to the person who can. Now, there's some difficulty, though, in providing that same level of service internally as help desk people. First of all, the term client service implies that IT itself is a service to the organization rather than being a business partner. Every internal organization, support organization, whether it be human resources, finance, IT, or others, depending on the industry, they really want to feel that they're at peers with the core business people. With marketing and sales and manufacturing and other areas. But also, this is a little difficult to do because familiarity breeds contempt. So just imagine, who should I pick on here? I'll pick on Riley. Let's say, take this, Riley. You're the head of marketing. Anyway, that you're the head of marketing, I'm the head of IT. We're in a discussion about something. We get really mad, really heated discussion. And I'm really mad at you over something. And then on the way out, you say to me, "Oh, and by the way, two people in my admin staff here need new printer cartridges. I can't tell them what I'm really thinking, or as my wife likes to say, keep it in your head." I have to say to them, "No problem at all," even though we were just practically, screaming at each other 30 seconds before. "No problem. I'll see that a help desk ticket's open for you, and we get that fixed." It's that familiarity that you know these people every day, but you really still have to treat them like internal customers. And just organizational politics and silos, like, oh, do we really have to help that group? We don't really like them. Well, yes, you do, because that's our job. And just a general organizational, view of IT. If everybody thinks IT is great, then if something not so great happens, then what'll happen is they'll, cut you a little slack. Hey, 9 of the last 10 things you did was great. Nobody's perfect. But going the other side of the coin is that if you're, terrible at everything, IT in general, and then does one thing great, it's not going to convince them. They're going to go, wow, IT is wonderful. They're going to go, huh, that's funny. 1 out of 10. Hey, I'll take it. We'll see how the next one turns. So those initial expectations, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that coming up, have an enormous value of people's general feelings. But in order to do a lot of this stuff, it has to be a proper level of funding. Now, let's look at this continuum here of quality service, and quite frankly, quality service-wise, there are some things you can do through proper training and morale and leadership and stuff to to increase and maximize the value of customer service that's received based on leadership ability. But let's face it does require money also. So at the low end, what you get, is that, that you're funding it just enough so that, you can do the job, but, people will accept it without complaint. They'll roll their eyes when they call the help desk, but you know what? All right, best they can do for how they're funded. The far other side of that coin is funding far on the right, is it meets wildest dreams and expectations. So what could be an incredible thing? Let's assume you're in the office, sitting in your office. Wouldn't it be great to have a help desk person sitting there, your own person, just in case you have a question? You could say, "Excuse me, how do I do this?" And they're there 100% of the time, specializing on you whenever you're in your office. They're in there, waiting if you have an issue, which might also be a little bit creepy, but we won't take it from that perspective. We'll simply say is that is a ludicrous level of support. I mean, who would ever want that? Who doesn't ever need it? But you get the idea. It's incredibly high service value. Now, when you compare those, the left one probably is too poorly funded, and the right one is much, much too expensive to be able to provide value. So what you have to decide as the head of help desk or whatnot is what's that value cost trade-off, and then set the appropriate expectations of what can be delivered versus the actual delivery. So this expectation things that we're going to be talking about before is super important. For example, let's say they open a new burger restaurant down the street from the office. And someone says, "Where should we go to lunch today?" And you say, "Oh, this burger place just opened down the street. It's the most incredible burgers you've ever had your whole life. Everything about it is incredible. And the prices, they're so low, I don't know how they're making money." And you go there, and the burger's pretty good. And the prices are okay. And you'll be like, "Well, all right, the burger was good, but it was like the best thing I ever had." Imagine that that same conversation happened, but then you said, "Oh, yeah, new burger place opened down the street." I wouldn't call it filet mignon in a hamburger roll, but it's okay. The prices are pretty reasonable, and you go there, and the food's okay and pretty reasonable. You'll be more satisfied. The food was exactly the same, but it's the expectation that's being set of what can be provided. Now let's go and let's define a couple of things. The first of which is it's not just help desk that defines the organization or the non-IT user's overall perception of IT. It's their full, what I like to call, or what is called, I should say, user experience. User experience is an individual's complete interaction, experience, and impression of IT, but in regard to not just its people, but the systems it provides, the general technologies that are available, the processes that they have internally, and the support they provide. So there's all of that, which really ties down to you can have the nicest person in the world, but you know what? In client service, but you know what? If they can't keep the internet up and your email working, you're not going to be really impressed. So it's a combination of, yes, the client service, but the products and services. For those of you familiar with ITIL or Lean IT, we're sort of referred to as the IT product and service catalog, the documentation and training that's provided, and any IT thought leadership on technology, on looking at IT as a strategic weapon against the competition, as a way to drive innovation and productivity, et cetera. Of how that, what all of that together is how IT is viewed by the non-IT organization parts of the organization. Because of that full UX or user experience. All right, with all that said now, what are some ways that we can enhance client service and user experience? Probably been waiting for that one. Well, here we are with plenty of time to go. All right, first of all, we need to understand our clients' characteristics. So every corporation or every organization, I know we get a lot of people from municipalities, both in our classes as well in our webinars, as well as in our ITMLP, ITMLE, and ITMLS classes. But anyway, every organizational culture has its own customs, processes, and characteristics. Within that, understanding each client's needs and then how they measure success, the critical success factors. And your understanding of their needs, you can build your department processes to meet those needs. For example, is that if nobody wants to pick up and call the help desk, then you better have either through through an email or through chat on the page or through messaging a way to get to the help desk. Ideally, probably all of them. We'll refer to that in another way later. I'll let us wait when we get there. But also, the needs of the sales department may be very, very different than the needs of the marketing department or the finance department or internal HR. HR may say, you know what, we can't use the printer down the hall with everybody else. Everybody needs to have a printer within their office. And you go, wait a minute, what does everybody need their old printer for? Come on. And then the answer is everybody uses that and we're printing salary information. Oh, okay, that makes sense. So it's understanding the nuances by individual user and by department overall. But also some general preferences can really go a long way. And I even suggest entering these types of preferences inside your, whether you use ServiceNow or whatever other tools you're using to maintain your customer service system. It could even be Salesforce. There's a number of them that you can use for this. But whatever it is, consider adding information on these type things we're going to see on this slide, because it really helps to a certain extent to make a house a home. So what are their preferences? Would they rather you call them, text them, email them, or just show up at their desk on person? Do they how do they would you if it's for senior management, would they rather you contact them directly or go through their admin? Do they want the fix when you're in or when they're in or outside the office? Think about it from a help desk perspective for those of you who do that. Is let's say Lauren, let's say that you're a senior executive, okay? And you know what? You just are really finicky that your laptop is exactly how you want it to be. So you know what? You're going to say to the help desk, nobody touches my laptop unless I'm here. Set it up at a meeting with my admin, but when you're there, I'm there. All right. Other people would say, you know what? I don't want to sit there and watch you do your IT mumbo jumbo. Come and fix my desk when I'm in another meeting somewhere. Because when I come back, I'm doing email, I'm using it, and I don't want you to hurt my productivity. Both are right. I'm not saying they're good things or bad things. I'm just saying they're things. And we need to understand each one of our users because this will maximize our serviceability to them and their perception of us if we know these things. If I call up Lauren and say, hey, Lauren, I know you love to be there when we're working on your PC. I understand it. When is a good time for you? Oh, if you could come over around 10 o'clock, it's between meetings for me. No problem. We'll be there. And then, of course, we have to show up, but it's these kind of things. What is their a level of customization on their PC and just what that they want? Is it high? They want it exactly how they want it. Medium, fix a couple of things, or low, whatever comes out of the box is fine. And then what are their attributes? Technically, are they strong or are they really challenged by technology? Do they tend to be more open and understanding or more demanding? What, based on their job, what is their dependency on technology? I mean, if you're at a call center, you're 100%, like outbound calls, you're 100%, dependent on technology to do your job, for example. If you're a salesperson or if you're doing training, for example, the day you're doing training, maybe it's stand up and there's, you don't need technology during that day. But when you get back to your office, you need it, and so on. And then proprietary data. If you're dealing with like payroll data and stuff that's super proprietary or just general stuff that nobody's going to care about, it's important for you to know all of these things because it changes the way that you will work with, address, schedule, and so on with that user. And everybody's different. If you do it according to them, it's really, really enhances their service, which ultimately enhances the skill, the ratings that come back to you. But all right, all that said now, what do they really want? All right, well, first, they want to be able to reach you promptly. Think about it. Now, this slide and the next one, put on your own hat, radio station WIIFM, what's in it for me? When you call the help desk, excuse me, coffee time. When you call Verizon to get help with your cell phone or whatever it is, do you want to be on hold for 15 minutes or get a call back in 3 weeks? No. You want to be able to reach them to reach you promptly. They want their concerns addressed effectively and efficiently. Efficiently means quickly. Effectively means they already solved the problem. clear communication with you from knowledgeable people. All right. Individual solutions, not like, oh, cookie cutter. Well, that's not really what I want. No, but that's the one that I know how to do. You know, I had one of these. I won't say who the vendor was. I was technology oriented. I called up. I needed ABC. And they say, oh, well, all right. Well, you fix CDE by doing that. Well, it's not CDE. I want to do ABC. I know, but it sort of does the same thing. So let me do that. Well, no, it doesn't. So, you know, it's people want to feel that they're being listened to and so on. Why? Because they want to be treated as important and valued. And also multiple channels of support. I just may want to text with you and not even, you know, it'd be faster. You know, while I'm waiting for you to look something up, I'm just waiting for the, you know, ding and the next text message to come up on either my phone or my monitor. So with all that in place, what do they want you to do? They want you to either resolve an issue. You're on the phone with them, there's a problem. Hey, you know, I can't get in, no problem. Let me help that, see what's wrong with that software. Oh, you have an old version of it. Poof, poof, poof. Why don't you try it now? It works, it works. Okay, great. So, you know, that's resolution of a technical problem or issue you have. Next thing in action, will you register me for this class? Will you download me this software? Will you do a password reset for me so I can get into this application? With a person, you know, resolution is sort of like help me, help me. Action is I know what needs to be done. Will you please facilitate it? Sometimes it's just informational. What's the status of my project? Hey, you know, I'm waiting for my new PC to come in. When will that be? I'm actually waiting for something to be delivered. Truth be told, it's for my fish, for a fishing kayak that I have that I can't use because it's related to the rudder. And the company said they shipped it. And by the way, they forgot to include it in the upgrade package I needed. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We'll ship it. But then every day I want to get the thing back on the water. So what am I doing? I'm going to the UP the post office site and hitting tracking every day. Oh, good. It's somewhere between Virginia and Boston right now. Yay, it's on its way. So, you know, they want to just know information and status of their projects, of their open tickets, et cetera. And if you can't solve do one of these three when you're on the phone with them or in dialogue with them via text or email, they want to have your promise that you will follow up on their behalf. The next thing that users want is they want you to be proactive. You know, let's start with what reactive is. Reactive is they ask you to do something, you do it. All right, that's good. That's a win. You know, redid their filled their printer cartridge or whatever it is. But proactive is where you're showing initiative to try to help them. You know, you're seeking their opinions on, hey, how can we provide you better service? You know, as new services are discovered or purchased for the firm, giving them a call and saying, hey, Heather, how about, you know, we got this new application we like. It's sort of in the area that you do. You know, I know you love Excel. This is an Excel add-in. Do you think this might be of interest to you? A perfect example of that now is there's some huge Excel additions using Microsoft Copilot, you know, their AI implementation into Microsoft Office. So maybe this is a good one for others. Think of the people could really, really use that. And if it's, say, out there for people to have if they want, to call up one of your users and say, hey, I know you're always calling in about how do you build pivot tables and do this type of analysis or connect into this database kind of stuff. Yeah, Copilot can really help you with that. Should I set up a lesson for you, get it installed on your desktop? All right, sure thing. That brings so much value. And not only that, but good feelings in them toward you. You know, discontinuing things that they no longer want. And again, this is providing technical thought leadership are all parts of being proactive. I'm going to open this and then sneeze. Shoot. Sorry about that again. I'm thinking you would much rather I sneeze off camera. You know, all the pollen out there is getting the better of me, I must admit. But anyway, when you look at this proactive, reactive stuff, what is it? It's client service is reactive. They ask you to do something, you do it. Relationship management or greatly enhancing the relationship between you and your client base. That comes from being proactive. So next is don't underestimate the importance of controlling the discussion that you are having with your clients. A senior vice president calls you and you could be, yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. How would you like to do this? What do you want to do? And so on. I mean, you want to be courteous. You want to be all those kind of things. But what they really want to do is they want you to control the conversation. Why do they want you to control it? Is because they are the, they're not the technical people. You are. You're the subject matter expert. So as a result of that, by you taking control, and we'll be talking about how to do that shortly, by understanding them, is that reduces client anxiety. Like, oh, good, all right, this I can just follow along what this person says. I don't have to ask too many questions. I don't have to think too much, that kind of thing. It shows technical and service competence. In other words, you're saying, hey, I can do this. I know what we do. Please follow my instructions. I will guide you through this. It helps, as a result of that, it helps maximizes client satisfaction, or what some shops call call client delight. And it helps to expand the internal IT brand overall, because as you might remember, is that from that one IT concept, you talk to one person and it affects everyone. Now, the next one is, and this next section is just a little bit fun, but as you'll see, it's really poignant, is you really have to know your different client types. Now, put on your help desk, service desk, and in your mind's eye, as I bring up the, as we go through this sort of next section, really somewhat quickly, but think of people and go, oh yeah, that's Mary. Oh yeah, that's Joe, and so on. And pick out people that, just sort of make you think that this is them. But the reason that it's so important for you to understand it is all of these different client types prefer different types of personalized concierge, white glove service to maximize their user experience and so on. So anyway, let's go through them. First one is the evangelist. The evangelist absolutely loves IT, loves client service, and you know what? I'm not going to go on these. I'm not going to go through every bullet point. I'm just going to give you the ideas behind them. You can see it here. Take a screenshot if you want, if there's one that you're going, oh yeah, that's that's Joe. We don't have a Joe in here, do we? No, we don't. Good, because I wouldn't want them to think that I'm picking on. Characteristics. They love IT, they love the technologies. The consequences of this is they're telling everybody how great IT is. They're trying to get you more funding. They want to get you invited to the holiday party, someone from IT showing up at your staff meeting, etc. The advice, feed their excitement. So, like for example, if you have a an important person, maybe they're just an individual contributor, but very much not only a supporter of yours, but also an influencer within their department, highly respected, etc. And let's say that they love Outlook, I'll pick on. Then there's lots of features in Outlook or just Office in general, which Microsoft wants everybody to know, so it's not like it's privately held information, but it's lesser known. Most people don't. So when you see this person in the hallway, or just drop them an email that says, "Hey, you know what? Outlook has this new feature in it, that allows make it allows it easier for you to to summarize emails in an email string. You might be interested in it. This is how it goes. Give me a quick call. I'll do it for you." So you're really feeding the frenzy. You're making them feel special, which means that they're going to be talking up your organization. It's one thing for you to say that it's great, that you're great. It's another thing for other people to say you're great. The next one is the negotiator. These are the people who are saying, "Well, I know it's on the budget, but can't you give it to me anyway? We only have three of them in the department. It won't be that big of a difference." So they're continually asking you from a help desk perspective to just push it. "Well, hey, I'm a manager. It says that you need manager permission to support it. Me being a manager, isn't that good enough?" "No, it has to be your manager." "Well, I talked to my manager. Is that good enough?" "No, we have to send them a form." So these are the people. They continually are wasting your time in speaking with them. It's almost like you can't get them off the phone. They're always looking for that one extra thing. "Hey, heard there's some new cell phones coming out that we can all have, some new smartphones. Can I trade mine in? I've had it for a whole 2 months, but the new one just came out. So can I get the new one? It's in really good shape. You can give this one to the other person." At some point, just talk to your management or their management and say, you're destroying our metrics by talking too much. Next one, and this is the first one you have to be super careful of. This is the panic button pusher. What the panic button pusher is this is someone they might love IT, but they really feel uncomfortable, flustered, and maybe intimidated by technology. So what happens is that their screen isn't working. And what do? They immediately say, "Oh my God, technology isn't working. The internet went down. Email isn't working. This is a problem. This is a problem. Oh my God, what do we do? My screen is black. Did the power go out?" And then they call help desk and they go, "No. What happened was is your foot accidentally hit the power cord on your monitor, and I just plugged it back in. You're good to go." "Oh, thank you so much." Now, these people aren't malicious. They're not trying to talk down IT. They're enormously grateful and appreciate your support. But they've already said to everybody, "Email's down, this is going on, this problem, that problem, oh my God," when none of them were the case. So then what happens is 3 weeks from now, when email does go down for 10 minutes, people are saying, "Wait a minute, didn't I hear it went down a couple of weeks ago? What's going on?" So these are people that make, I don't want to call them false statements, but just sort of through nervous energy say things that really aren't true, that place a bad light on IT. And then they'll apologize and say they're wonderful. Again, no malintent here. Just like, "Oh my God, what do I do? The sky is falling." Next one is rejectionist. What these people are is no matter what IT does, they'll never support it. They'll never like it. Now, where these type of people come in, the advice is just do whatever you can to make them feel a little better, or at least find a way that they can't complain about you. Like, "Look at this guy. Does he look like he is ever going to be happy with what we're doing?" The example of this is, let's say that someone says, "Gee, for our HR system, we really should bring in Kronos," or now it's a UKG, United Kronos Group. "We should really bring in their software for our HR department." And then the decision is to bring in PeopleSoft. That person, no matter how good PeopleSoft is, not PeopleSoft, I'm sorry, that's someone being phased out, Workday. No matter how good Workday is, this person is going to continually complain just so they can say, "Told you so." And so here, just be really careful of these people because what will happen is they will just never talk good about IT, the application you're supporting, and other things. So try to at least minimize the things they can say about you that aren't nice. Next one, target user. This is ideal. These are the people who, there's no drama. They really use your software. If they have problems, really listen to them. They know it. They know what you're working on. They may know actually the software from an implementation perspective better than you because they're always using it. These are the people who truly appreciate your support, and usually are really great to work with, because it's really to their best interest to help you help them. Next one is the talker, which is a little bit like the negotiator. All right, I'm going to give you an example of this from a phone call meeting. Let's say that one of your metrics working on the help desk is how fast you can close a ticket. So in other words, how long you're on the phone with them. The concept behind it is the better trained you are, the sooner you can use your problem-solving skills to figure out the problem, the sooner that you'll be able to close the ticket and end the call. All right. But then you get someone, oh, like me calling. Let's say Yolandra. Let's say that you're working on the help desk and you're being judged. One of the metrics that goes into your performance review is your average length of call. And I call up and say, "Yes, hi, I'm having a problem with my laptop. How are you today?" "Hey, I'm in Boston. The weather up here is it's a really beautiful day. Are you here or are you in our Chicago office? I know it gets really windy there. I heard it's the windy city. Is it really windy?" And you're thinking to yourself, tick, 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 there go my metrics. And just want to talk to you and talk to you. Talk and talk and talk. Now, usually, management of help desks and understand this. So they take off like the high 5% and the high low percent. But if you ever get someone on the phone, what will they do if they don't want to mess up their metrics? They will hang up on you when they're talking. What? And you'll say, "Oh, that was weird. We were disconnected." Because hanging up on you when you're talking is, "I can't believe they hung up on me." But if they're talking, then no one would ever hang up when they're on themselves when they're talking. Different things can happen. If you have a talker, try to go to their desktop, for example, when they're not there. Or find ways, teach your team how to do soft skill techniques like using closed questions to basically minimize a conversation. Next one is the tinkerer. These people really bright, love technology. But what they're doing is they're playing around with all the settings. They're doing all sorts of stuff. It's like a shiny new toy when they get a laptop. Literally, I've seen people do what this person's doing. They took off the back of the box just to see what chips are in it. And then when it doesn't work, they call you and say, "Help me, help me." Sometimes they have really good ideas. But the thing is what you really need to do with this type of person is just let them know, hey, you need things changed. That's what we're here for. We're happy to show you what we do if you want to learn through professional or personal interest, but don't go changing all the settings just for fun. Then the other side of that coin, and really the last one in this category, is the whiz kid. The whiz kid is this person. They're really good techies. These are the kind of people who work on their accounting job all day long. They go home and they read IT World just because they want to. All right. Very often, when I find with these people, these could also be sort of the super users on applications, like accounting applications, manufacturing, engineering, whatever it is. They really get the tech. They love it. That robotics is coming in because they work in the warehouse. Robotic pick and pack, and they're the ones who want to get involved in it. We'll really get good. From here is the help desk person. Don't say, "Oh, well, you're a user and I'm help desk. Quiet down and listen to me." Look at them almost like a peer. Be willing to take their advice and their input as well as, and have really, peer-to-peer conversations with them, because some of them are really super good. Super good. Is that a good expression? I'll say extremely knowledgeable. How's that? Now, moving to our next topic. And this topic is the most important. Does anyone know why? Now, you might say, well, because we talked about expectations earlier. It's the most important topic because it's the last topic. I know anyone who's taken classes with me, the MLP or MLE, yes, that's a bad joke that I always use at the end of a day. This is the most important topic because it's the last topic. Always wanted to try it in a webinar, and well, you guys now get to live with it. But anyway, so what we're going to talk about here is an acronym. The acronym is DANCE. And what it stands for is when you're on a particular call or at someone's desk and they have an issue, first of all, you have to define the issue. What specifically are they talking about? If someone calls up and says to you, "Oh, the computer's broken." Oh, okay, let's get you a new one. No, what do they mean the computer's broken? But this is particularly true of people who don't have sort of the background or the knowledge to specifically and properly articulate technology-related issues. So you figure out what the issue is. Then, and I got a slide behind each of these, so I'm going to do it at a high level. Then you agree what needs to be done. You negotiate the final outcome they're going to be getting, which, by the way, is the expectations. You complete the task, and then you follow up and just make sure they're happy with your service. But now let's go through these one at a time. First, the define. Ask them to describe the issue and use active listening techniques. Make sure that what they're telling you, you understand what they mean. If they say the internet is this, I'm not getting internet service, maybe what they really mean is that their email is down. Don't, and really listen careful with them, but also mirror what you've heard. Like, oh, when you say the internet's down, what do you mean by the internet is down? Do you mean that nothing on your PC is working? So you're really looking to ascertain it. Now, for this one, what I found, particularly with very unknowledgeable people from a technology perspective, I love to do a share screen. I'm like 2 seconds into a conversation with someone, and they're saying if they tell me the internet's broken, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to immediately say, "Can we try to do a screen share?" Next one, agree what needs to be done. Well, let's think about what we talked about before. You said, "Oh, all right. Now that I understand the issue, so would you like that software upgrade? Do you actually want a new keyboard put in your laptop? Because when you poured that Diet Coke in it by accident, it's still really sticky." But what they're going to want from you, as we talked about in a previous slide, they're going to want you to resolve a problem. Oh, a couple of questions came in. Let me just see what those say quick. Let me see is. How can IT departments enhance concierge service and client service in hybrid and remote? Work environments with emerging help desk options. Second one is that you share a lot of valuable information. Thank you. You're welcome. Let me see. Will the webinar be available to go back as a reference? Let me start with the second question and then go back to the first one. Yes. What we'll be doing is that. Tomorrow or potentially Monday, just it being a holiday meeting, maybe later today, but probably Monday. You'll receive an email, and what we'll do is we're going to take this. Oh, it'll definitely be Monday. We will take this webinar. We'll load it into our IT leadership growth library. You'll have free access to it until we get two others in front of it. For those of you who are alumni, namely, have taken the ITMLP, ITMLE, or our new certificate program, the IT management leader certificate in leadership, IT leadership studies, is you have full access to it. So as long as you're related as an alumni connected in with us, you'll have access to this, and quite frankly, all the previous webinars we've done. You can also, buy it for $99 to get everything. But for this one, it's all free to you, and it will be that way, I don't know, for a month or two if you want to go back and look. Regarding the last question, is in a hybrid environment. What I would say is all the same rules apply. However, is that there are a few other things you can do. To answer that question, just for those not interested in this particularly, I have about four or five, maybe six more slides before we're done. Hang on, let me finish this, and then I'll come back and answer that question. How's that? But anyway, is that there's the need to resolve the issue, perform an action, the stuff we talked about before. Because then what this does is this specifically sets the client's expectation of what you're going to be doing. And by the way, if as soon as they call in, if you can mentally sort of place their thought, or their question, if you can categorize it mentally immediately in one of those four bullet points, then it can get you in the right direction more quickly. Like, they want me to do something. All right, what is it you want me to do? As opposed to what information would you like to receive? The end, negotiated. All right, this is where they may want things they can or cannot have. I'm sorry, we can't give you unlimited access to ChatGPT because of blah, blah, blah. We can only give you this level. We can't give you administrative position over your PC because of blah, 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 et cetera. So this is where you're really now, have setting their expectations in a way of this is what you can do and this is what you can't do. Then, of course, complete the task. And if it's a task like get me a new laptop that takes, hours, days, or weeks, remember to follow up with them during the process. Let's say that I were to tell Cameron that you're going to be okay. Yes, we can get you a new laptop on Monday. It should be coming in tomorrow, which let's say is a Tuesday. Then I have to do a 24-hour burn on it. To make sure the circuitry didn't break during its shipping to us. I got to put on all of the applications you like, blah, blah, blah. I'll have it to you Monday. So then what I do is I call who was it, Cameron on Thursday, and I say, hey, Cameron, I told you I was going to have your laptop on Monday. It's not coming in till tomorrow. It was back ordered by Dell. So as soon as we get it, I'll let you know, and then you'll get it the sort of the middle to end of next week. Now, Cameron might not be happy that her laptop is late, but first of all, she won't be mad at me because, well, it needed to be shipped by Dell. But second of all, when Monday comes and she doesn't get her laptop, it's what happened? Eric forgot about me? No, that just even a call to say that things were delayed, or just, hey, just wanted to give you a quick update. Don't have any more information on you, but I want you to know I'm still working on it, is of enormous value. And by the way, that one to the question that came in, that's doubly important if the person is hybrid, if they're virtual, because it's easy for people who are virtual to think they've been forgotten. Next one, the E in dance. Sorry, yeah, that's best I can do. Anyway, on the dance piece, but ensure they're satisfied. Give them a call back in a day or so. Now, many of you collect statistics. It might even be, the kind of thing we'll call back and say, yes, hi, I'm calling from the help desk. Do you have 2 or 3 minutes to answer a few questions? We want to provide you the best service we can. And you go, all right, they answered it. All right, you want some answers? Okay, ask away. All right, they're your client and you're asking them to do you a favor. What I would say is instead call them up and say, yes, hi, this is let's say that I was at the help desk. You wouldn't want me calling back if you're collecting stats. But let's say you haven't picked on yet, Brett. So let's say I'm the one who did the service, is I'd call up, or Brett would call up and say, yeah, hey, this is Brett from the help desk. Just want to make sure. I know that who was that? Eric was at your desk a couple of days ago. Your problem solved? Is things going well for you? Oh, all right, that's great. Oh, it's good. Hey, why have you on the phone? Anything else you need? No, all right, that's awesome. And hey, Eric, when he got there, was he helpful? Did he get there on time? That kind of stuff. All right, great. Hey, thanks so much. But most of all, again, just wanted to make sure that your problem was solved and you're good to go. So what if you do it that way? Now, granted, in that case, is that all of the sort of the 1 to 5 kind of stuff is being entered by me, but by getting my client satisfaction statistics, I'm actually increasing my client satisfaction, because what's going to happen is they're going to hang up the phone and go, "Wow, that was nice. Hey, you'd believe it. I just got a call from the help desk." Yeah, what'd they want? Oh, what they want? Yeah, they were just calling to see. Remember that problem I had with my PC yesterday? They were just calling to see if it was fixed. Wasn't that nice? See, that not people talk about cool service like that. And at the same time, you're collecting the stats. So before I go back to that other question about hybrid came in, what I'd just like to tell everybody is that for those of you who don't know, we do these free on a monthly basis. They're open to the entire IT community, just as a way that we like to give back. Is our next one is on July 19th, and it's on the AI User Computing Leadership Dilemma. What that means is there's a lot of tools out there that can be of great value to business users, those outside of IT. But how can IT help to control and work that and manage it and show thought leadership, not be the department of no and say, you can't use this, knowing what our users are using in regard to this AI stuff, which can work really, really well or could cause all sorts of security and privacy holes. So anyway, we'll be talking about that one in a month. Also is that I know by the names looking here, some of you have already done this, but we do ongoing research on the identification and growth of future IT leaders, and would love for you to do it. It's about five, depending on your organizational level, 5 or 7 minutes to complete it. If you go to our website and click on research, you'll see it. Now, also, we're the governing body of two certifications in IT management. Oh, give me 1 sec here. Okay, sorry about that. There we go, on of IT management. The first is the ITMLP, or IT, certainly Management and Leadership Professional. And these are the topics within it. It's a three, they're both, and the one I'll talk about next also, they're 3-day classes. They're always virtual, they're online, and they're offered month to date. They're on our calendar, and everything there through year end is guaranteed to run. The only reason next year's stuff isn't guaranteed to run yet, because it hasn't been loaded yet. Soon as you see that in the September timeframe through December 2025, they'll be guaranteed to run also. The reason that this one is the cybersecurity one is highlighted, that was our latest module. We added that in January, I think it was. So anyway, is that this is for soon to be IT managers up to about 5 years of IT exper management experience. The next one, the IT Management and Leadership Executive, contains these topics. We actually added a newest module there, was on IT leadership's role in AI. For this one, I think of it as for manager of managers, IT directors, CIOs of small IT shops, that kind of stuff. But what I would say to you is the one that's best for you is when you're looking at this list, which of the topics in it really resonate with you most. Our newest program, and this one is, we've now opened up registration, will begin in October of this year. This, instead of being a 3-day intensive class, this meets once a month. It's not a certification class with an exam. It's a certificate, which we provide, obviously, a certificate for participation at the end. One meets 2 hours on a Friday afternoon kind of thing for 12 months on each of these specific topics. For those of you who've taken any one or combination of our stuff, there is actually no overlap between the materials of these three sections. Maybe a topic will be talked about from a different perspective. Occasionally, there might be 1 or 2 slides of overlap just because they're so important or they're needed to frame the area. So anyway, from here, what I'd like to do now is I'd just like to thank you for spending 53 minutes and 37 seconds of your day with me. I hope it's been of value to you, and just like to say, have a great rest of your day, and thank you.